53 is a Christ experience man. For we are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are one in Christ Jesus, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Remember what your promise is? Eternal life. Praise God. Now we turn the time over to Mark.
Good morning, and thank you, Mike. And it is wonderful to see you who are here. And we welcome those also who are online. And yes, we're waiting for you to return as well. It's very encouraging to see the saints in church on Sabbath morning. And what a blessing it is to be here. We've had the privilege over the last several weeks to be studying about God's covenant with mankind. Generally, as we thought about this particular subject, at least my mind tends to go to the promises of God to Abraham, or the children of Israel, or the Hebrews, the Jews, and so forth. But we've already learned this quarter that God operates on a much larger scale than for just one particular group of individuals. You might say that it is not the DNA that guides God's attempt at blessing people groups. At various times, He has reached out, if you will, to a wide variety of individuals, indicating the almost unbelievable love of humankind. Don't you just find it remarkable what God has done for us? I hope that you've been enjoying the Bible study guide that we have been given through the Sabbath School Department. What a great way it is to get into the Bible. And God has outlined very clearly His loving care for His people through a variety of covenants. We're in the midst of studying about those. Now, our time together this morning will be in review of one of those times where God has demonstrated His inclusion of everyone in His plan of salvation. We will see that God will include anyone and everyone who will cooperate with Him. And you are aware, Bible times are often divided into particular segments describing the prevailing leadership of the era. Story this morning comes from a time period called the Era of Judges. This is an age that was immediately following that time when the wandering Israelites had settled into the land of Canaan. This Era of Judges lasted for about 300 years, between 1350 and 1050 BC. All told, this included 15 judges who were given responsibility for the care of God's people during this time. I'm sure you already know there's a great number of wonderful stories to be found in this historical setting. The story for today occurred during what was likely the governing time period of Gideon, and that took place approximately 1300 BC. The story is told in a book that is essentially tucked in as an appendix to the Book of Judges, on one hand, and an introduction to the Book of Samuel, on another. You know what book I'm talking about? Luke. Turn your Bible to the Book of Luke. For some reason, things all happen to you, I know, something gets on your mind and you can't get it off. So it has been for me with the Book of Luke. The story has been on my mind for some months. I don't know why, but the result is this presentation. Let me know what I'm trying to do with this. So, the Book of Luke is a short but compelling story of one small family, residents from the town of Bethlehem. Probably written in the early years of King David's reign, and according to Jewish tradition, it was written by the prophet Samuel. The principal purpose of this book appears to be the conveyance of information concerning the immediate ancestors of King David, whose line was to come the Messiah. storyline of sound is outstanding examples of faith, godliness, humility, industry, and the loving kindness that is revealed within just the ordinary circumstances of life during Bible times. A very encouraging story, which reveals to us how individuals with pagan origins are so willing to receive the grace of God. That leads me to the star, let's say, of this story. There are three main characters in this story: Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz. This morning we'll discuss Ruth briefly. You should know that there are multiple perspectives on which this story can be told. As a citizen of Moab, Ruth was a heathen. She most certainly worshipped the god of the Moabites, whose name was Chemosh. Sacrifice of children as burnt offerings were part of this ancient culture. As you may recall, the citizens of Moab were a product of the drunken and incestuous encounter between Lot and his firstborn daughter. Now that had been 800 years before this. But even today, this incident remains a great example of how the expansion of sin grows exponentially. Basically, it's a great example of a bad example. As our story begins, Ruth was a part of this pagan culture from Moab. Then she met a family who had just moved from Judah to Moab. And she became in close contact with them. Find the circumstances of this story in the first chapter of the week. As you likely remember, there had been a famine in the land of Israel. And from the town of Bethlehem, a man named Elimelech elected to move his entire family of four directly east to the country of Moab. But by the crowflies, this is about 40 miles. But they could have easily traveled twice that distance depending on where they settled down in Moab. Moab was situated where there were high, fertile plains and an abundant supply of water, but they somehow escaped the famine which Israel was now dealing with. You may recall that this was the region where the tribe of Reuben had settled in the land of Canaan just a few years before. Very significant events occurred during the 10 years of this little family of Reuben and Moab. As Larry was singing this song, I thought Naomi could have written that song. It doesn't take but a few minutes to read the entire account of the little family, but it is found in the book of Ruth. And if you haven't done so, read it down and read it to do it yourself. First, the father of the family died. And soon after marrying some local girls, the two sons died. And suddenly, Naomi, the mother of the family, found herself all alone. Besides my two daughters in law. These two young women, Ruth and Orpah, had grown to love and to revere the mother in law. It was within this affectionate relationship that they had been introduced to the God of Israel. Now, it wasn't long after the death of her entire family that Naomi decided to return to Bethlehem. She heard that the famine was over. And initially, her two young daughters-in-law elected to go with her. They wanted to accompany her. And as the journey progressed, Naomi encouraged them to return to their family. You should note at this point some detail about the terrain between Moab and Bethlehem. You can find a little bit about it in the back of your Bible if you look at a map. Both of these areas, that is Moab and Bethlehem, are significantly elevated above the floor of the Jordan Valley, which lies between them. So think about this topographically for a few minutes. Bethlehem is about 2,500 feet above sea level, whereas Moab is about 3,000 feet above sea level, and a plateau across the Dead Sea from Bethlehem. Jericho must have almost certainly been a passing spectacle to them as they traveled. It's located 864 feet below sea level. The nearby Dead Sea, the shoreline of that sea, is actually creation of God. So it was quite a little journey, shall we say, to go down into the valley and then up the other side. The demanding nature of this journey may have had something to do with the only encouragement of these young ladies to return to their home. If you notice about Naomi, her thoughts were consistently for the benefit of her daughters-in-law. As they were pressed on the matter of the maiden in Moab, both women had to make a decision. Oprah, after thinking it over, elected to return home. Ruth, on the other hand, made the decision to stay as the right mother-in-law. As a pagan, she had become a believer in the God and the faith of her mother-in-law. Her reply to Naomi's urging has come to reflect one of the most timeless decisions that is found in all scriptures. The words have been immortalized, and they are read and repeated in many languages among a wide diversity of faiths. They reveal to us the high ideals that are possessed by a resolute mind and will not be changed by mere circumstances or persuasion. They reveal the depth of character that is to be admired by all self-respecting individuals. So from Ruth 1, verses 15 to 17, this morning we read from the New Living Translation the following. Then Naomi said to Ruth, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her God. You should do the same." But Ruth replied, "Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. I will go wherever you go and live wherever you live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. I will die where you die, and I will be buried there." So Ruth is basically saying to her mother-in-law, "No matter what happens, I'm sticking with you until the very end." You can see that Ruth has made a decision by which no amount of persuasion from the woman is worth offering. According to the narrative, which you can look at, she has been encouraged to return to her own family for the time. This noble trait of character identifies Ruth as one of the most outstanding traits of her life. Worthy of all of God's children's ministries. It might remind us somewhat of Paul's statement to the weeping disciples when he said, "I am ready not only to be jailed at Jerusalem, but also to die for the sake of all Jesus." That's 21:13. Or we might think of Queen Esther's statement in what was clearly a very dark hour for the Jewish people. And her reply to Dr. Mordecai's solemn reminder, she said to him, "You and all the Jews from Susa fast for me. Then, though it is against the law, I will go in to see the king. If I must die, I will live." You can see it's evidence that Ruth had complete confidence in the faith and the fellowship of the mother-in-law. What is this thought about the character and the faithfulness of the woman? Just think of the favorable intentions that the woman is going to do regarding the temperament of God's people. How many of you here today would enjoy reading this wonderful story in the Spirit of Prophecy? Guess what? Not there. And Naomi is not mentioned even one time in the Spirit of Prophecy. Ruth is mentioned 11 times, and the information therein is very scanty. Sometimes the name Ruth is even referenced to one of the texts from Ruth. Why? Well, it turns out that Ruth was heavily rewarded with a royal decision to make what turned out to be an eternal change in her environment. Treat it to end with the rest of the story. Upon their return to Bethlehem, Ruth first meets and then essentially proposes to a distant relative of the family who has been very kind to her. This so happens that Boaz was the son of Rahab, from Jericho reputation. From her marriage to Boaz, Ruth becomes a member of the royal house of Israel. This not only means her an ancestor of King David, an ancestor of Jesus Christ, the Son of Man of God. that you can speak to God on the road is on the come. Let me interject here in just a moment about the genealogy of Boaz. Boaz was actually the son of somebody named Salmon and Rahab. Now, Rahab was an idol worshiping Amorite prostitute who had protected two of God's people within the city of Jericho just a few years earlier. As an Amorite, he was a descendant of Canaan. Who was Canaan? Canaan was the youngest son of Ham, who was the youngest son of Noah. And once upon a time, Canaan had fallen out of favor with his grandfather, and along with all of his descendants were cursed by Noah as a result of his evil ways. The Bible indicates that he and his family line would all be the lowest of servants to the descendants of Noah's other two sons. So Boaz, through Rahab, was a servant product of the first family line of Canaan. By the way, Elimelech, who had been Naomi's husband, was likely the relative of Rahab as well, given that Boaz is named the first kinsman to his family. I think you can see that both Boaz and Ruth had inherited significant pagan talents that were woven into their genetics. More than there are several remarkable foods that we can learn from the book of Ruth. And there's way more than one in the ministry. Like I said, this story can be told in so many different levels of unbelievable. But first, an even background does not mean that such a person cannot ever change. They can be changed by cooperating with God, and Ruth became the mother of Noah. This description may also fit by the grace of God anybody else. Next, God will always honor a firm resolve for the truth. Joseph, Moses, Daniel, Esther are all great examples from the Bible. There is God honored because of their resolve for the truth. Third point, the quiet and persistent life in the home cannot be and should never be underestimated. It's important power to be recognized. And Ruth's decision to serve God may never have occurred had it not been for the faithful influence of her mother around Naomi. Finally, perhaps best of all, as God did for and to do, He can and will do for anyone of us who is willing to work with Him. I think you can see that this simple little story is a great example in showing God's people that His will is not at all. God alone is the key thing, and then to cooperate as He needed us for His purposes. I wonder if Paul felt duty bound. To clarify this perspective in Ephesians 3, verse 6, again, reading out of the Unity Translation, which is what he said. The Gentiles have an equal share with the Jews in all the riches inherited by God's children. Both Ruth, God believed, the Word of God, the good news, and both are part of the same body and enjoy the promises of blessing through Jesus Christ. By God's special favor and mighty power, I have been given the wonderful privilege of serving Him by spreading the good news. Yes, I think you put on a hearty amen to that text. The SBA Bible Commentary, I just to say about the reality that we've just been talking about as it closes out the book of Ruth. Has the Jewish nation appreciated the lesson of the book of Ruth that God is no respecter of persons, their attitude toward the Gentiles would have been vastly different from that time. They would have been looking for a Messiah whose mission was to save all men from sin, whether Jew or Gentile, and not merely for a Jewish Messiah to save the Jewish nation from the bondage of the Lord. It goes on to say there is a lesson for us as well in the book of Ruth. The brutal but practiced love and sympathy for our fellow men many of them that came to us as roots of the Lord, black people and white people, from let's carefully consider the example that is set before us from the beginning. And then let us cooperate with God and we follow the same path of our faith in our lives. Father, we are grateful for the example that you put before us in Scripture. We're thankful that the covenant encouraged the more worship by all people, and that we all have an equal opportunity to worship you, to love you, to obey you, and to be part of your kingdom. We pray that you will enable us to cooperate with you. Help us as we serve, that we are serving others and serving you and not ourselves. Again, we thank you for these stories, and we ask that you will be able to think about this over the next few days. And see what applies to our lives. And we pray this, Father, that we ask in Christ's name.